Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is End Times Friday, and
this will be airing March
the 22nd, and we are pretty current, actually. So you've had your little trip down to Florida. How'd that go?
Oh, that was super fun. We thoroughly enjoyed it, and God blessed us with not only a lot of fun and refreshment, but also sunshine. And this solar powered girl was very happy for some sunshine.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, we just did a retreat in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And as typical in Colorado in March, we had planned to be up at this beautiful mountain retreat house up in the mountains.
And right.
It starts Friday. And Wednesday, a big snowstorm started. And they, you know, you never really know what, you know, they say it could
right.
be a lot of snow, maybe not. But in this case, it was. And
this was a doozy.
Thursday, what they wind up doing now is they close the major roads, like 70 from Denver all the way up into the ski resorts. And
right.
then we were going up 285, which is another kind of a road going west. And they closed that.
Oh, wow.
And so we start to see, hey, this is going to be heavy. It's going to be a lot. Could be problematic. And particularly even getting to this house, which is even 10 miles off the road. And, we prayed. And this is what, we're talking about hearing God's voice in our series. And,
mm-hmm.
Father, what do you got to say about that? You know, and Linda and I heard, you ain't going to make it.
Pivot.
and this is what we try to teach, by the way, about, following God and understanding God. It's not like, well, God make it so we can go,
mm-hmm.
which is our preference. It's, well, what's the truth? What do you got to say about
right.
that? You know, and he just said, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to make it. Make it up there. You know, and so you got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, you can have it in your house and then, just find a hotel that people can stay in. And so we, hope we can. And we did. And we found one. And Linda and I pivoted to our house, which, by the way, we because our kids have been living there, we haven't had them at our house, but we still could have it if people weren't staying in the bedrooms. And we recognized how beautiful it was for that house to be used as a retreat, and it was special. And so everybody got there, we had this phenomenal retreat of everybody hearing God's voice, and they all were excited. Interesting enough, and it's pretty unusual. As people come, they are hearing, here's my invitation to you for a mm-hmm. grand life, and I want you to process that, and then I'll get you, God says, I'll get you to giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of these couples got both, here's my invitation, and I'm going to ask you to give it away. Get ready.
And, that's awesome.
And that was, that was unbelievable. And everybody recognized it. Is that
mm-hmm.
we as a group are called, this is a group that knows each other. Are called to something unique, and so we just had a beautiful time, and we're going to have a reunion time with them, and
that's so cool.
It's very exciting, and we're always amazed, which is why we do our ministry. Is that every single time, every single person individually
mm-hmm.
hears God's voice, they get invited to something unique to them,
right?
And they know it. And we get the privilege of observing that every single
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah, I always call it, we get front row seats to
yeah.
God's supernatural work, right?
Yeah. And we're always like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, that's who I am, And so
I love it.
It's quite fun. So we had a great time and then got through the retreat and And now here we are a few days later, and we got, by the way, at our house, we got 36 inches of snow.
Wow. Now you don't shovel that anymore, right? You have someone come in and
they had to come in. And I told them,
that was a multiple trip one, right?
It was. Yeah. I called them and I said, hey, we're having a group. Could you please, you know, come and do it on Thursday during the storm, which they did.
Yeah.
And then come back Friday after the storm's over and make sure it's all, you know, can be
right.
Worked. Now, in Colorado, this is exactly what happened. So they plowed it. The road is plowed. Our driveway is plowed. Our walkway is plowed or shoveled. That was at, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday when it was all done. By 4 in the afternoon, it's completely dry.
Yeah. And sunny.
And everybody can come like as if it's a normal day. I mean, it was remarkable. And, of course, you know, the mountains still had snow. they had four to 4.5 feet of snow, so we weren't going to get there. So it was quite remarkable. So as we are talking about the end times, it's always a question. Everybody has the same question.
Mm-hmm.
We can see some things happening. Is this headed toward the time? Are we going to be experiencing this time? And with every generation after Christ, he actually built it in a way that I want you to think and look at it may be your time. And I, as I was trying to keep praying about that, because I said, well, it's 2,000 years later, and every generation thought it's theirs, and it hasn't happened.
Right.
So I said that today, most people kind of, because of that, think, well, therefore, it's not going to happen in my time either. And they kind of ignore it. So as I prayed about that, God said, well, there's two reasons. One, it's going to happen.
So, right.
There'll be a generation that will happen. And I need you to get ready. And then because of that, I need you to keep teaching each generation.
Right.
The
truth, so important.
The truth of it, so they don't lose ever the thought that it could be them.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not us, well, maybe it's going to be our children or maybe our grandchildren. And so we can impact at least three generations of, take a look at this, understand the truth of it. God does say, watch for the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready and be prepared and understand things and keep pursuing truth. And by the way, one day it will happen. In our time, because of what we know will happen, which is one world government, the world will surrender its rulership instead of to each nation will be to a one world government. And then economically, it'll collapse so that the new one world government comes up with a solution, because it's not, because remember when Hitler was doing it and they were thinking he was, but really if they went into the scriptures of that, it really couldn't have been Hitler because it was by force and not by imitation.
Right.
When the new world government comes in play at the tribulation, it's a solution to a problem. And the problem is going to be economic. That's going to impact everybody, and we're willingly going to, surrender to it. So, a couple of things that that have happened just recently is that the whole commercial real estate office market is on the verge of collapse, and we're seeing, for example, what they call REITs, real estate investment trust. They're selling buildings like in New York that are, you know, $10 million square feet of building for a dollar.
Wow.
Because it's less expensive to just get rid of it and lose the value of it than it is to maintain it.
That's crazy.
So,
right?
they're giving that away. And,
wow.
We haven't fully realized it yet because all of the loans that are supporting commercial real estate haven't been what's called rolled over yet, but they're going to be in the next year or two. And so you're going to see a dramatic change in that situation on the inflation front last month, it actually rose again. And again, it's becoming more.
And they weren't expecting that.
No,
they were expecting it to be down just a little bit, right?
Right. But it's more normal now because you get into a cycle where you now expect it.
Right.
Well, we have to because. And so it just keeps perpetuating itself. And remember, they don't count things, which is interesting because I talked to Linda about this, is that they don't count food.
The things that we see don't really.
They don't count food, rent and fuel as part of the equation. Well, mm-hmm. that's where we all live.
Right.
And those are skyrocketing. By the way, there's one thing that's happened that's now starting to hit everybody. And because of COVID, the valuations of housing dramatically increased.
Right.
And as a result of that, the counties, the cities raised the value of your taxes. Even though you didn't sell your house,
mm-hmm.
you had your value raised up in the what's called the tax assessment, and now you got to pay more. So the average person now, relative to just a year and a half ago, has lost $11,000 in income per year because they have to spend it on other things now. And the income hasn't kept caught up with it. So what that does is it takes the money out of the system,
mm-hmm.
Which then perpetuates, and this is also happening, is that there's companies now all over the country laying people off.
Right.
And because they're laying it off, then that means they don't have the income to do it. And, of course, they'll try to get government benefits. But it's what they call a multiplier effect that works both sides. And if there's mm-hmm. a high investment, it grows investment, but when there's a shrinkage, it mm-hmm. shrinks faster.
Right.
And we're just at the cusp of that. And I believe we'll see what I call a recession hit later this year. Depending on the election, it may be pushed off into 2025. But the factors are all there, not mm-hmm. only for a recession, but it could be severe. Again, because of the other side of it, which is the World Economic Forum, the WEF, United Nations, they are promoting one world government mm-hmm. very, very actively. And it'll happen because we know it happens biblically. The world embraces it, and they embrace it because there's a collapse economically
mm-hmm.
to then have a solution that says, let's do it this way.
Right.
And we're starting, and there's little mini things that happen. Like, for example, there's a big push for electric cars, for example.
Right.
And they'd like to convert everything to electric cars. Well, if you dig into the truth of that, it's not possible. The infrastructure isn't there.
The infrastructure's not there yet.
To support
right.
it, and the cost of doing it can't support it. And so, for example, Hertz rental car said we're going to convert to electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last 2 years, they primarily converted to electric cars. And guess what? People stopped renting from them.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, now just think of the simple reason why. Why?
Well, the infrastructure doesn't support it, so it's really hard to do that. My sister actually rented an EV at one point, not realizing that the route that she was going to be on didn't have the proper things and ended up really delayed at some very slow chargers.
Very slow. It takes long. And as opposed to you can go in and fill your car up in 5 minutes and gas, electric, sometimes couldn't even find them.
Yeah.
And when you did find them.
Yeah, a little easier to find it up here in the Northeast, I will say.
There might be people using it and I got to wait. And then when I do, it's going to take me a couple hours to do it. So it's just a hassle
mm-hmm.
Because the infrastructure isn't there. And by the way, interesting enough, it doesn't cost a whole lot less.
Right.
They still got to pay for it. So people just said, well, we're not going to do it. Well, their demand dramatically dropped. Their CEO just got terminated because he made a bad choice. And what he didn't do in a wise way, okay, let's take 20% of our fleet and convert it. Let's see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
He did it across the board, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I believe that when the world government comes in place, all of these crazy things that they've set up in the world, and this around the world, they'll say, yeah, you know what? We've discovered that gas is actually okay, and we're going to go back to, some electric, some gas, but we're not going to try to be so absurd on things that just aren't going to work. And so what I see is that they are purposely pushing abnormal things that people say, I think that's not going to work. And it really bothers me that you as a government are enforcing that, making me do that. And then all of a sudden, I think when the one world government comes out and they say, you know what, we're going to make it really back to normal and back to easy for you. And that'll be one of the reasons why there's an acceptance of this. And so it'll be interesting. But as we process, the end times, there's a, there's obviously a big question mark, and a lot of believers are, being taught. It's kind of funny. Don't even worry about it because you're going to get raptured ahead of time. So we've gone through some verses on the rapture, and all we can say is that there's a lot of them that don't solidify that it's up front, pre-trib. So let's go to one. First, Thessalonians 4, 15 and to 17. Let's go ahead and read that one.
1 Thessalonians 4:15-17.
Yeah.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Yep. So as we look at that, it's describing, and it does describe a rapture. And the rapture, again, is kind of simple. It's those that are alive never face physical death, normal physical death. They're translated from this life into the heavenly life, in the spiritual life, automatically. And so that's called the rapture. Well, this describes the rapture. But it says that when that happens in verse 16, the dead do what?
The dead will rise.
They rise first. Okay, well, as you look at scripture, that would tend to promote what's called post-trib rapture, because it says the dead are going to rise at the very end, not at the beginning of the tribulation. And so since they describe that the dead rise first and then we join him, that it's at the very end of the tribulation, and we enter with him when he comes back to gain the Battle of Armageddon and reset up Israel and the believers as rulers on earth. And we it's called the millennium, and we get to come back with our spiritual bodies and live with him and rule with him. And we can do the same things that he did when he demonstrated it. Well, you remember when he was resurrected, he could do what? Appear right through doors. He could go from Galilee to Jerusalem in a nanosecond. Well, we'll have that same capability. But there'll be human beings that will, and basically those that are out of Israel will be the primary ones that continue to be human beings and live on earth, but they have Christ and us ruling, co-ruling with them, and Satan is locked away, so the demonic isn't present anymore.
This
However,
is in the millennium,
it's
is
called,
that correct?
yeah, in the millennium, and we'll try to spend some more time on that. But the one interesting thing is, because they're human, what kind of a nature do they have?
They would still have a sin
they have
nature, right?
they still have a sin nature, and every person born has to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's not they don't aren't exempt from that, because they still have the same solution. Why? Well, the requirement hasn't changed any. The requirement is perfection. They can't get there. they have to receive what Christ did at the cross. Now, by the way, it'll be a lot easier. Why? Well, because you'll see Christ physically, and he'll be, you know, we have technology, we have television, we have all that. He'll be visible. We'll be with him, and we'll be encouraging everybody except Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and get to live out the covenant life that he has for you. And there won't be any enemy who's trying to thwart that. But we still live in a fallen world. It'll still, you know, still be entropy, and there'll still be that. But this implies that it's at the very end of the tribulation, not at the beginning. Let's go to one more. Go to Revelation 3, 7 to 13.
Sure. 3, 7 to 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
So he says that I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. And it says in verse 10, why?
"Because you've kept my command to persevere."
Yeah, and then he says, to test those.
Yeah, to test those who dwell on the earth.
Who dwell on the earth. Okay, so see, this would tend to imply that it is mid-trip. Because he says the trial, and whenever you see it, like, for example, in James, "Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter trials of many kinds."
Right.
Because the trial is what? A test of your faith.
Right.
Okay, so if it's a test of your faith, who's initiating the trial? God.
God is, right.
Yeah, and so when he says this, he uses the same words here, and that is that I'm going to prevent you from the trial, which is going to be a test of faith. Well, he initiates the trial mid-trip when the Antichrist states himself to be God. God says that initiates, by the way, the trumpets, and this is going back to the other verse, that the trumpets of God's wrath are seven of them over the last 3.5 years, the last one being at the end. Well, we read that Jesus is going to descend with a trumpet. And is it that last trumpet? It implies so. In this case, it's saying that I'm gonna preserve you when I bring my wrath, my judgments, my wrath against the earth because of what the Antichrist does. And the last 3.5 years is the severe trial of the entire world of, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe the Antichrist? And by the way, interesting enough, the world believes the Antichrist. During that time, he says, I'm going to actually take you away from having to be part of that trial. And the only ones left are going to be Israel, who are humans, who are going to pass that trial, by the way. Because they're going to believe and they're going to be protected of it. So
So this is where the mid-trib idea comes from.
This is partly where the mid-trib comes. And it could be because we do have the example of Moses with Pharaoh. They were physically present during the 10 plagues, but none of them touched them.
Right.
They were preserved from that. So it's possible that this could also be, well, you are physically here, but I'm going to preserve you through it. and it'll be at the end,
Just
which
like
is,
in the Passover and things like that.
It could be at the end. So, but here's the implication of this, is that both of these verses imply it isn't pre-trib, and therefore either mid-trib, post-trib, and see, and all I like to say is this, is that there you could make an argument. Even here, you could say, well, he's preserving me from the trial, and the trial is going to be the Antichrist, so I don't have to face it. It is pre-trib, and they could make that case. But the wording doesn't support that. So what we would say is, and this is, as you know, we're not going to spend a whole lot more time on this, and we'd encourage you, if you have questions, to send them in, but it's not absolute. Since it's not absolute, it could be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. There's verses for all. I think he purposely did it so that we don't get into a system. And I think one of the
And
reasons.
admirable theologians that fall on any one of those three ideas too, right? Who've
And
spent lots of time studying
I
this.
do think specifically that if it was completely pre-trib, I think he would have said so, and I think he would have said, you don't even need to worry about all this other stuff at all. But it looks like we're still here during the first part of the tribulation for sure, maybe the whole thing. And therefore, we need to prepare for that. And we need to understand it and not make an assumption. Think about the worst possible scenario. It doesn't matter. We're going to be raptured. By the way, which is why a lot of people end their sermons, they end their conversation about the end. Yeah, all this stuff's going to happen, but it won't matter because you're going to be raptured. And then you say, well, then I don't need to worry about it. The worst scenario is I accept that, but it really doesn't happen. And we're actually here. But we've never prepared. We've never thought. We've never asked. We've never requested, well, Father, what do you got to say to us about this? And so what we would encourage you to do is, could we be headed toward the end? Yes. Is there a rapture? Yes. But we don't know exactly when. It's not stated exactly when. And he gives it purposely that it could be all three. So therefore, our encouragement would be, let's go seek God together, get a community of people to process this and start watching and understanding. What would you have me understand? And the way I would look at it is that, well, if we're going to be here, which is a possibility, how would you want me to get ready for this? And God says, I'll let you know. And so just seek God, and if he confirms from you in your heart that it's pre-trib, then accept that and live with it. But at the same time, keep asking. So that's all we would say right now. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of these scriptures. We are going to get raptured. That's the good news. You are going to protect us. We are yours, and you care about us, and you do have answers for us. And so we just pray that we would have a heart to listen, to seek, and not to be so straight on our own thought about it, but rather to be opportunistic with following you. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Always a privilege and a joy to just go to God's word and see what he has to say. And then love how he's both instructing heart preparation as well as other things. So open the dialogue with him, right? It all comes back to abiding and walking with him. So thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great day.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.